A little bit of magic makes the medicine go down. This is instant inspiration from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California. A little bit of magic makes the medicine go down. Now, you'd think that that's Mary Poppin, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth, but it's everyday stuff. Everyday stuff. Mother goes to her child and says, now let's take this medicine. It'll make you feel so much better, and then you'll be all set, and you can go out and play again. And the medicine goes right down easily because the magic of going out and playing, and the magic of feeling better, and the magic of having everything in perfect order, that's the desirable thing. And of course, that's what everyone would like to have. Now, I talked with a lady today who is experiencing hospitalization for an unknown malady, and I wrote her a letter, and in the letter I explained how our thoughts build up the condition that our body experiences, and that if we use the magic of changing our thoughts to positive and joyous thoughts, that the situation goes away, that the problem, the illness, and whatever it may be, goes away. But it cannot go away until the proper medicine is given. And, of course, she agreed right away with each thing that I said and each direction that I pointed it to. But what was the most difficult is the old habit of going back and saying, but. And this is what we all do. And we all feel self-righteous, even while we know that that self-righteous is going to kill us. It's going to destroy us. And I told this person, I said, now, I'm perfectly happy to bury you or to enjoy your company for a long time to come. But I don't really care. If you want to continue not liking yourself, not saying happy things about yourself and everybody in your world, then you're going to die. You're just going to die. That's as simple as that. Or you're going to live a horrible death. Like Donald Simone and Richard Bach. You know, you're going to have a horrible death. That was really a terrible death, wasn't it? Well, this is true. This is what every one of us is going to have if we persist in playing with feeling sorry for ourselves and judging the world. So long as we judge the world, we're going to have to face a lot of difficult times. We're going to have to face a lot of difficult circumstances because judging the world doesn't mean judging the world. It means judging ourselves. We're judging ourselves because this lady mentioned something, and I said, hey, that's you. She says, I never do that. I said, well, you're hiding it, but you must be doing it because you couldn't see it in anyone else if it weren't in you. And she said, oh, I said, well, it's true. We cannot see anything in the world around us that is not in us. And if we see anything out there that we don't like and we persist in seeing it, we're empowering it to continue to be. Whereas if we see it and then we say, that is not my thing. I see all in divine order. I see everything working harmoniously. But that's lying. That's not telling the truth. That's not looking at things the way they really are. No, that's right. That's what's called using your magic wand. That's what's called being a wizard. In Camelot, Merlin was said to be living backward. So he's always young. And he knows what tomorrow is because he's living it today. And he's enjoying yesterday, today too. And he's got all of life right in front of him and right around him. And of course they give Merlin a silly beard and mustache and things like that and long hair and perhaps even the wizard's cap and what have you to make him seem more like a wizard of ancient days. And I saw an ad in a book magazine. And the ad was very charming. It said, Golf by Chopra. Deepak Chopra. The Game of Golf by Deepak Chopra. And the person who is saying something about it said, not really, you know. In other words, Ayurveda, medicine, and the golf. How to Play Golf by Deepak Chopra. Well, it's not, no reason why he can't have games that he likes to play too, and he plays them with the same diligence and intelligence that he does with everything else he does. So, really, it's not too outrageous, except for one thing. When a person is known in certain areas, and then he starts getting out of that area, he starts losing his credibility because people don't know that he's a good golfer. And they should know that. He's a doctor, you know. And doctors spend half their time on the courses, you know. They got to relax. But he's a doctor, and so he has written this book on golf, which is a very fascinating thing to write a book on. Now, that's another kind of magic for him. That's another kind of magic that helps the medicine go down. He gets some of his clients out on the golf links, and they are very tough clients. He has tough clients too. And these clients do not want to hear about Ayurveda medicines. They don't want to hear about all of these Hindu techniques for meditation and stuff like that. They want to talk to him man to man. They want to talk to him human being to human being, and you know, golf player to golf player. And so he's on the links with these people and talking to them and sharing with them. And his life is not one big counseling session, although it might seem that way. But he opens himself up to do many different things. He opens himself up to be many things for many people. He has his little bag of pixie dust that he has tied to his waist. And he's always reaching in there for that magic pixie dust to sprinkle on people. How about you? Are you a practitioner? As a practitioner, you feign from being flippant. To be flippant is a very easy thing to do. Oh, you're home perfect. Oh, you're home perfect. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're this and that. We don't wave our head around in a supercilious way when we say you're whole and perfect. We don't do that. We just say, you are whole and perfect. Now, if we are enthusiastic about this, if we are emotionally powerful about this, that's true too. But it isn't that, yeah, that sort of thing. The minute it becomes that sort of thing, it becomes ineffective. And it's both ineffective for us at the beginning, because we're playing a game, and it's ineffective for anyone hearing it, because they think it's a joke. And treatment is not a joke. The work of a practitioner is not a joke. It's very serious. And we answer all questions in light of that seriousness. If we don't, the magic of the practitioner's healing art ceases to be magic. And it's just a bunch of medicine that you gotta have some magic to help it go down. And that's a difficult thing. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? What are you driving at? Well, when I ask questions of people, especially my staff, and I say to them, how are people? How is this? How is that? And I want to have a medical report, because I am medically responsible for these people to be whole and perfect. And I don't have to have, well, the doctor says that they have encephalitis, or they have rheumatism, or they have this, or like the man at the hearing aid place, he came out wheeling his oxygen bottle, and he had this oxygen bottle that gave him a gallon of oxygen over a period of a few hours, and then he has 3 gallons of oxygen that he breathes every night, liquid oxygen. And he has a big tank in which he makes his oxygen, because he uses so much of it, because he has emphysema. And this is created by his smoking habits that has destroyed his lungs. And now his lungs cannot provide him with enough oxygen. He's got to put it in by this other source. So when people tell me these things, I say to them, well, is it worth living this way, you know, having your little oxygen bottle dragging it along the street with you and having this thing in your nose and so on? Oh, yeah, he says, I like life. He says, I'm having fun. I'm doing lots of beautiful things. I'm you know, involving myself in many things. He says, I cannot be energetic because I use up the oxygen too fast. He says, I just have to do some simple, quiet, peaceful things. And he says, and I got lots of simple, quiet, peaceful things I like to do. And he's up in his 80s, and he's doing just fine. But theoretically, you'd look at him and you'd say, poof, you know, why doesn't he just roll it over? But he's enjoying himself. He was foolish when the time to smoke was there, and he smoked excessively and ruined his lungs. And many another has done that too. But he found this little bit of magic of this liquid oxygen that helps to keep him alive and keep him percolating and enjoying life. And he's doing just fine. But if he did not question into that, now, he could have said, I'm whole and perfect. He could have said, I'm whole and perfect. But you see, he was so stricken by smoking that he couldn't even stop smoking when he knew it was killing him. So many people have that thing. They can't even stop taking drugs when they know it's killing them. And liquor, alcohol, they can't even stop drinking when they know it's killing them. And they have to have some magic come in, some motivation come in, like the friend of ours who was dying of cirrhosis of the liver, remember? And he has a beautiful wife and lovely daughters, and I told him on the phone, I said to him, you know, you're a very kind man, having brought forth this beautiful wife, trained her so perfectly, and these wonderful daughters who are such gorgeous creatures that some other man's going to come along after you die and take over your good work and get all the credit, and he's going to enjoy them and just delight in all the things that you have created. And he became so angry, he decided not to die. And you see, motivation comes in the strangest ways. How would he ever know that Joyce would call me from Chicago and ask me to call him in Detroit and counsel with him? And how did Joyce know that my words would just happen to be the right words for him to hear at that moment? Now, we don't know that. We don't know where the magic is coming from. My technique is rather simple, and it's one I use regularly. So people know what sort of thing I do with them when they call. And many wonderful things happen. I give you the known things. There's many things that are not known, and that's just fine too. But a little bit of magic makes the medicine go down. And the magic is being honest with yourself, being honest with your world, always treating everything with all the seriousness in the world. And as I've said to all of you, I am your counselor and your mentor here as the dean of the university. You can come to me and tell me any garbage you want, but it stops there. We don't tell anybody else about it. But if you told everybody else about it, I don't even want to hear about it. I have no tolerance for you, because you haven't gotten the message of our teaching at all. And if you can keep it quiet, if you can do it, we can, in one snap, have you back on track. But if you told everybody else because you wanted everybody to feel sorry for you, like you want you to feel sorry for yourself, well then, no blessing or benefit comes. And this is the same thing in telling about people who call in and they have to be friends of yours and you want to share their experience with us to a degree. If you are really honest, and if you are really a professional practitioner, what is the first thing that you don't tell?
The problem.
And the name. Mm. You don't put a name on it. You don't put the name of the individual. The second thing is, you don't tell the problem. And the third thing is, what is the third thing that you don't tell? that it is not done yet. Mm. You say it is done. But you see, that's your role in sharing these things. My role is in listening to these things and saying, okay, what's my question to a person in the hospital who is very serious? What's my question?
You want to live or you want to die?
You want to live or you want to die? Simple, simple, simple. And they have the right to make the decision. And if they want to live, then they must stop doing what's killing them. If they want to die, then keep on doing what's killing you. You understand that?
Yes.
It's very simple. What's killing you is hating yourself and not liking who you are just the way you are and not appreciating the world that you're living in, and it's wanting to change other people instead of change your own attitude. We should not really change your own attitude, just like your attitude, mm-hmm. just the way it is. If you can train yourself into that awareness, and I'm well practiced in that, if that is what you want to do, that's the magic that makes the medicine go down and brings about the great results. And as I was talking to the patient in the hospital today, and I was saying how I was proud of them and what they're doing and putting all good causes in motion, and then naturally I'm not a very nice person, so I immediately brought up a few little bad things and hateful little things that I knew disturbed that patient very dearly. And immediately they took the bait and said, yeah. And I said, hey, now, just a minute. If you can speak so powerfully well 1 minute, and then the next minute fall back into the trap, you really haven't got the message to stay with speaking powerfully about what is important to you. And this patient is no different than anybody else. You're all doing the same thing, even though you're long-time practitioners, even though you're listening to this as people who may not even know our philosophy. But I contest and contend and say continuously, we have one purpose in living, to be ourselves and have fun. We are not here to praise God, although that's a very good idea, because God is us. We are not here to worship God outside of ourselves, because there is no God outside of ourselves that we could worship. The only God that we'll know is, like Jesus said, the one within. And people say, oh, you're anti-Christian, you're anti-Christ. I said, no, I'm anti the way people talk about Christ. I am for everything he has said, done, and taught, and I think it's wonderful, and I share it. And if you really want to believe it, you start listening to your own inner self and not to what other people tell you. We were talking about some topic today with this patient, and the comment was made about she didn't want the book interpreted by somebody else. And I said, well, what do you think of the Bible? And she says, oh, you know, been around a long time. You know, everybody, you know, puts a lot of power in it. And I said, the Bible is the most interpreted book in the world. Every Sunday, every minister on the face of the earth interprets part of the Bible so that his congregation can get his point of view. And they, naturally, as they listen to him, they have their own point of view. And they have the point of view that the previous ministers of that church had given them, or the previous priests had given to them. And they have heard what the radio ministries have said, if they listen to them. And they have heard what other people have said, and they have their own opinions. And every phrase, every word, virtually, in the Bible has, in any one person, even whether they're Bible people or not, at least a dozen interpretations. Because their mommy has an interpretation, the neighbor has an interpretation, their brothers and sisters have interpretations, and who knows what. And they do too. And they don't want to always give it credit. But what helps the medicine go down is the magic. And the magic is, I like me. And the medicine is, I am God. And it's wonderful. I love you. Have a great evening and a great day.
Thank you.